Years of litigation have yet to resolve a very simple question. Is telling the truth a firing offense in federal service?
And that, says former U.S. Park Police Chief Teresa Chambers, is why she came to the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee to testify in favor of House Bill 1507, the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act of 2009. We'll hear more from Chief Chambers in just a few moments. First, Representative Dennis Kucinich, Democrat from Ohio, says it's important to note that this bill
is really vital to trying to restore trust in government and trust in the Congress's ability, not just to provide oversight, but to make sure that those who have information feel free to come forward with that information and not be punished for it.
Rajesh Day, Deputy Assistant Attorney General with the Justice Department's Office of Legal Policy, says this bill reflects the Obama administration's support of whistleblowers, who he says are key to ensuring accountability in government. The measure builds on two previous versions of whistleblower protection that had passed the House twice, but stalled in the Senate because of Bush White House opposition. H.R. 1507 not only addresses key civil service reforms to protect federal whistleblowers, but also includes new provisions designed to protect whistleblowers in the intelligence community, and goes beyond the limits of the Intelligence Community Whistleblowers Protection Act of 1998.
We propose the creation of an extra agency avenue within the executive branch for federal employees who wish to make classified disclosures to Congress under the ICWPA. This mechanism could be composed of senior, presidentially appointed officials from key agencies within and outside the intelligence community, including inspectors general, and would ensure that no individual agency can rely inappropriately on alleged classification concerns to stifle disclosures of waste, fraud, and abuse.
The committee heard from several feds, one of whom still has his job, about instances that touched their lives and careers. Bonantine Greenhouse is a former procurement officer with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers who suffered career retaliation because she blew the whistle on fraud related to the Iraq War and learned the hard way that the current whistleblower protection law is useless.
I essentially received the same advice from my former commander, Lieutenant General Carl Strock, who was responsible for my removal and demotion. When my whistleblower concerns were made public, he announced in my presence, during his weekly staff meeting of his senior staff, that the Corps had a whistleblower, but that there was no need for concern because the system would take care of itself.
France Gale is a civilian science and technology advisor to the Deputy Commandant of the U.S. Marine Corps. He suffered retaliation for blowing the whistle on delays, often fatal, in the shipment of key weapon systems to troops in Iraq, including the MRAP, or Mine-Resistant Ambush-Protected Vehicle.
After my supervisors silenced my attempts to bring the issues to the attention of the Office of the Secretary of Defense, I reached out to the offices of then-Senator Biden and Senator Bond. For the OSD disclosures, I received a formal counseling and rewritten job description. Then I received a formal letter of reprimand for a well-received email to a senior joint commander outside of my chain of command. Finally, I received a notice of proposed suspension for meeting with congressional staffers.
In fact, Franz Gale says he expects even more retribution from his bosses for his testimony yesterday. One of the most highly publicized cases is that of Teresa Chambers, who today serves as police chief in the Prince George's County town of Riverdale, but 5 years ago was chief of the U.S. Park Police.
In November 2003, a Washington Post reporter contacted me for an official agency response regarding information the union had supplied him, including internal documents showing that there were not enough officers to cover assignments following the attacks of 9/11. On December 2nd, the Post published the article. After reading it, I thought it would be well received because thorny issues had been handled deftly. This was not the case. 3 days later, without explanation and with three armed special agents at his side, then National Park Service Deputy Director Donald Murphy ordered me to surrender my gun, badge, and identification. I was placed on administrative leave and ordered not to speak further with the media. Two of the agents escorted me back to my office to quickly collect personal effects. Then I was walked out into the street. Standing there at the curb in full uniform, holding a cardboard box of things, I was stunned. Little did I know that a long, strange odyssey had just begun.
Chambers was eventually fired from her job and is continuing to pursue two legal challenges in federal court to her dismissal. Under questioning, she told Chairman Adolphus Towns that an incident this week underscores that she was and is right about chronic staffing shortages at the Park Police.
So the most glaring example came to mind last night as I attended the law enforcement officer's memorial candlelight vigil. I buried a police officer from the United States Park Police. Part of the reason that he died is because there were not sufficient officers to protect an accident scene on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway. Everyone in the nation in law enforcement was short after 9/11. We were no different. The difference was that while local agencies could apply for federal benefits and increase their numbers of officers, we in the Park Police stayed stagnant. In fact, instead of increasing in numbers following 9/11, our numbers fell.
Chambers says she is continuing her fight to get her old job back, even as she works as the police chief for the town of Riverdale, Maryland. And to this day, she told me that she continues to ask the $54 question about her old job. With the benefit of hindsight, Chief, what did you run into at the Interior Department when this all blew up in your face?
You know, Max, to this moment, I don't know. I mean, clearly it was politics, but something I was naive to. No one has ever told me what I should or shouldn't have said or shouldn't have done. This was a pretty typical interview, management's response to a union concern. For whatever reason, though, the reaction was anything but typical, and we're still trying to sort that out. We may never get to the bottom of it.
Chambers hopes approval of H.R. 1507 will help protect future federal whistleblowers from her experience in workplace retaliation. On Capitol Hill, I'm Max Kakis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.